This is a podcast from Minute Media.
We are experiencing some audio difficulties, so I'm recording with my headphones for the first time, and Chris is live somewhere in parts unknown.
And Holiday Inn Express, yes.
Yeah, you're the smartest man alive right now at the moment. And then Mark Uroff joins me, and Cody, who is in Stillwater.
Amarillo, right? Texas. I was in Stillwater, Oklahoma this past weekend.
So okay.
Traveling all around this offseason.
Awesome. So we're not going to take up too much of your time. We just wanted to get your thoughts about the Raul Rodriguez signing, and then the constant, it seems like every day or every minute of the last day or so, a new Justin Verlander location where he's going. Today it's been reported that he's going to possibly go to Chicago, Atlanta. Somebody said Boston. I don't remember Boston at all, but either way, first things first, this signing, you broke the news and did a great job with it. What were your first impressions of the signing?
I think two things stand out to me about the Eduardo Rodriguez signing. I think number one, it's just the Tigers' level of aggression. 5 years, $77 million plus some incentives. It was the biggest free agent contract handed out so far this offseason. Kind of the first marquee signing. The Tigers identified a pitcher who they thought was in their price range, and they went out and got him. Now, sometimes being that aggressive in the market can actually be a deterrent. Maybe we find out by February they overpaid for him. Given this market and some of the big names at the top of the market, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think for this particular offseason, it's good to see the Tigers be that targeted, that focused, that aggressive. It brings some credence to all the talk we've heard really for years from Al Avila, from Chris Illich, that we'll spend when the time is right, we'll add when the time is right. Well, it seems like now the time is right. And so far, from getting Tucker Barnhart the day after the World Series to Eduardo Rodriguez, really just days later, the Tigers are backing that up. Now, from a strictly baseball perspective, I like the signing. I think Eduardo Rodriguez is a good pitcher. I do wonder, you're looking at $14 to $15 million plus a little more, 5 years. He does have the opt out, but it seems like a little bit of a steep price for a guy who has been a little bit up and down in his performance. And when you look at the metrics, and yeah, he is better than just the sheer ERA numbers suggest. I don't think the Tigers would have signed him unless AJ Hinch and Chris Fetter really identified some things that they thought they could maximize his game and his arsenal. He misses a decent amount of bats for a guy who's not a high velo guy. His fastball averages around 92. So he's not a true power pitcher in the sense a lot of times the guys who get these big deals are power strikeout pitchers. Rodriguez relies a lot more on his changeup. He has a cutter that can be good at times, has also been inconsistent at times. I think it's a good signing. Will it end up being a great signing? I don't know. I think it addresses the established pitcher that the Tigers needed, but I don't know that we should pump it up to be a ton more than that at the same time.
Chris, do you want to?
I don't know. I guess I would want to compliment you on breaking that story from the Midwest. I don't know if you want to talk anything up about that, about the process of that, or if you want to betray any sources or anything like that.
But yeah, no, I think I'm going to keep how I got this one mostly on the down low, but let's just say that's one thing about the off season. Some days it's like, all right, I don't really have much to do today. Some days you get your phone starts blowing up at 7 a.m. and you get up and you've break news and end up reporting all day. So you never really know how things are going to shake out. There was obviously since that the market for Eduardo was heating up and I knew the Tigers were in on it, but I think they got that deal done a little bit quicker than I would have expected. So it was, I don't know if it was a surprise to me, but yeah, let's just say it came early in the morning. I had to jump on it and go.
Yeah, it's funny is I think I identified him. I think the last time we did a podcast together, or maybe two times ago, we were talking about the offseason, and he was a guy I mentioned that the guy I wanted them to get the most, assuming that they weren't going to go out and get a Scherzer or a Verlander. So it's a very weird feeling for me to feel like the Tigers did something smart that I really wanted. It's a little bit like taking me back to middle school the first time, like I realized another girl liked me and I liked her. And we're like, all right, let's do this.
It's a good analogy, but it's even more. So the biggest thing now is the shortstop. And of course, there's rumors that's been indicating that the Tigers are going to sign something before December 1st. And whether it's Korea and all these strange national treasure like sides on Twitter and all that nonsense, but all kidding aside, how close to that is that a possibility that they sign a shortstop before December?
From everything I've heard, I think they want to sign a shortstop before December 1st. But in terms of tangible, I don't know, evidence, like will it actually happen? I think things have been pretty quiet. I think the market is largely dictated by what's going on with Carlos Correa. It's been in the process of his wife having a baby. So I don't think where he's going to sign has been on the forefront of his mind. I don't know. Has he had his child yet? Do we know? Is he like posted about it? I don't think so.
I've never heard
it.
All right.
He's basically said, I'm not going to worry about anything until after the baby is born. So if that baby hasn't been born yet, that might be why we're not seeing a lot of movement. I think a lot of the stuff we're seeing on Twitter is the name Trevor Story has come up a lot lately. And I don't know if it's really sourced tangible information. That's a whisper that maybe Story is emerging as the Tigers' main backup. Or even if they just don't think Correa is going to sign, if it becomes too big of a bidding war, Story gives them a little leverage to say, hey, we'll just go sign Trevor Story. But I don't think this one's going to heat up until the days right before December 1st. I just have not heard a lot of tangible, concrete anything right now. I think it's, I think we're not quite there yet on the short side market.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've heard a lot of Story smoke, and then there's obviously been a ton of implications about Correa. That's just more, I think, people in. Yeah, that makes sense. We'll talk about it. I did see, I don't remember who posted it, but somebody said that the Tigers were actively going after Javier Baez. And it was like the one story I saw. I was like, that's unusual. I hadn't heard anything about that.
I didn't even see that one. So yeah, I don't know if I buy that. I think this is also the time of year. There's a lot of weird stuff going around, like with the Verlander thing. Okay, yesterday, supposedly, John Heyman says, oh, the Tigers are still interested. And then today, it's, oh, it's going to be an East Coast team. And then it's, oh, the White Sox. And it's, this is all over the place to the point, I don't even know where it's coming from. Is it coming from an agent trying to build his market? Is it coming from another team trying to make it seem like there's more competition than it is? Is some of it legit? I think there's a, kind of a lot of BS going around right now.
Yeah.
And, don't overreact to every single post on Twitter.
I think people know that John Heyman is the king of BS. So I think the less we listen to John, the wiser all of us get. But I think I'll be shocked if Verlander leaves the state of California. I really think he wants to stay there. And I think there are four or five teams got the money to pay him. And I think my opinion has all along been, you want to pay a guy $40 to $50 million who's 39 years old coming off of TJ. I love the guy, but it's, I think that money can be dispersed in a lot more productive, less risky ways than that. So
I think that's super true. And I don't get the sense the Tigers are super interested in it at all. I think the Eduardo Rodriguez signing is pretty much the final nail in the coffin. And I guess you never know, you never say never, but I think it just never made sense. As you said, from a common sense standpoint, you're the Tigers. You're worried about, okay, do we want to hand out a huge payday to a shortstop? Yeah. Why in the world would you even consider a huge payday for a 39-year-old coming off Tommy John? And now you've filled your need at pitcher. I've not heard anything that brings any validity to the Tigers actually being in on Verlander right now.
Yeah, Like I said, I think that they like Tyler Alexander more than they'll tell you. I think they'd like to find a pitcher that is either Willy Peralta or something that replicates what Willy Peralta is in that price range. You do those two things. You also have Fado and Wentz. You have a pretty decent amount of depth. And if something else falls in their lap, and I think, based on the CBA, which I'd love to talk about with you guys for a few minutes, but I think there will be just a ton of bargains in February based on how I think this whole thing is going to go. And I would be shocked if that's how they look at it. The Rodriguez move was a really good move. I would assume there are quite a few teams that were in the same offer market as the Tigers for money. And I think Rodriguez picked Detroit as much as Detroit picked Rodriguez. And that's probably a good thing. What do you think about that part, Code?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the Juan Nieves tie was real, who he worked with in spring of 2015, a Spanish speaker. I think they had a pretty tight relationship, even though they just briefly overlapped in Boston. I don't know, you know, how much he knows of AJ Hinch, but Rodriguez played for Cora. And despite what went on in Houston, there are plenty of ties between Cora and Hinch. And the Tigers, again, one thing about the Alavila front office, they are known to agents as not messing around a lot. They can be very straightforward. They're not going to waste your time. Either they want you or they don't. And so I think they probably made Eduardo Rodriguez feel wanted and say, hey, we want you to come be our established guy, the centerpiece of the staff, in addition to our young prospects. And those probably, you know, that plus the money probably ended up winning 5 years. I don't know if every team was willing to go 5 years. They went 5 years with an opt out. So we'll have a chance to make more money. If he has a great next couple of years, I think it makes a lot of sense and definitely ended up being a very attractive offer.
Yeah. He's got a huge swing and miss whiff rate, far higher than any starting pitcher they have now. I think Sutter will probably, it'll be a guy he will really work well with. Sutter likes changeups, and it's a cornerstone piece for the rotation. It makes Mize and Skubal a lot better to have a guy like that with in the rotation. I wanted to ask you a question, though. You and I have talked many times about this, and I don't think people understand sometimes. Pitch has a very defined idea in his own mind of building rosters. So I think they miss a lot of times. Yeah, the Tigers are getting a shortstop. They're getting somebody, but there's some other things that he probably wants to do with his roster. You told me, I don't think I'm saying anything out of school now because it's the off season, but they'd like to add a power lefty in their bullpen. You got any thoughts about that?
I haven't heard much on that one in a while, but I know that's something AJ definitely wanted, another lefty, more of a power lefty in addition to Soto, who probably will fit more of a prototypical closer role. I think that makes a lot of sense. I don't know if they've identified anyone.
There's only one.
Yeah.
Brooks Raley is the only one out there, and he seems like he'd be a really good fit and in their price range. So
I think that could happen. I would not be surprised at all if they add a bullpen piece before all is said and done.
If you think about adding a guy like Brooks Raley to the guys they have, and I think they're pretty happy with the right-handed guys. They have Jimenez, they have Lang, I know they like both of them, and as much as we all bag on Joe Jimenez, misses bats. The problem is he doesn't miss bats, okay? But I still think they probably like him. You have those two guys at the bottom, and then you got Funkhauser, Cisneros, Fulmer. You got their bullpen is probably one of the strengths of the team at this point in time. If they add a left-hander to that, they'd be done, and they can move on to other things. You got a lot of other things they need to upgrade.
Well, that's, a lot of the questions we're getting, it seems to be like, are they going to go after another starter, another starting pitcher? And they also, I think at the end of the season, they mentioned that they weren't interested in outfielders, but just the other day, Avila mentioned that they might take a look at an outfielder. So I don't know if you have any particular feelings about either of those situations, Cody.
Yeah, the whole outfield thing, that's something I had heard late season that, okay, say they miss on one or two shortstops they really want. Maybe you see them pursue a starting Marte or Michael Conforto in lieu of a shortstop, or they go Andrelton Simmons or something like a shortstop. And then it seems like both Hinch and Alavila really shut that down toward the end of the season. We're like, no, we're good at outfield. So to hear that idea resurface made me think, okay, is that like just another leverage chip? Okay, if you're not going to sign with us, we'll go get starting Marte. Or was that, there is more than one way to build a roster. I think they are a little leery of going 10 years for Carlos Correa and some of these other, if they feel like they can't get Seager, well, there are questions about Story and questions about Baez. At the end of the day, I think they're going to get a shortstop. I think that's just, it just makes too much sense not to. And I don't think they'll spend on a shortstop and an outfielder. As much as I would like to see them get a better right-handed bat in the outfield, I've been harping on that for a while and they haven't seemed to agree with me. So I don't know if there's been a reversal of thought there. I kind of think, and then I heard, another starter. Yeah, it's not going to be Verlander. Willie Peralta makes a lot of sense. I think Willie Peralta is kind of in the opposite boat of Eduardo Rodriguez, where Eduardo had this high ERA number, but terrific underlying metrics and got paid for it. I think Willie Peralta wishes it were like 2003 and he could get paid based on his ERA, even though his metrics are pretty terrible. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think he's the Tigers have approached him and their initial offer. He wants to see if he can get a little bit more. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up landing back in Detroit, or if Chris Better and AJ Hinch identify another bounce back type guy at a similar low price who can come in and compete with Tyler Alexander and others for the fifth starter spot. But I don't see him making a big financial commitment to basically a fifth starter.
Peralta's best pitch was a split figure, and that was something that came out. Yeah, it's very good. And it came on later. Very good split finger. And it came on, and you can tell it's for Chris Fenerbeck. And speaking of rosters, by the way, this weekend, the Rule 5 all that decision making comes up, I think on the 19th, I believe, which would be, was it Friday? Well, Friday. And so any names that the Tigers should be fear of losing or anything like that, because there's, we saw Garrett Hills on there on that list that be has to be protected. Chris, there's a couple other names too in there. I'm trying to draw a blank right now at the moment.
Yeah, but I think they have a handful of pitchers whom they could protect. It's always been confusing because I didn't think they would protect Elvin Rodriguez, but they did. Reported was basically like they had to do this or he's going to be a minor league. But I think Cody Clemens is eligible, and I think Eric De La Rosa is, despite the...
Reese Olson too.
But so the Reese Olson one, it's confusing to me. That's what I was talking to JJ Cooper about. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice here. Reese Olson is listed as Rule 5 eligible to Fangraphs, but by every other traditional measure, I don't think he is Rule 5 eligible. He was signed before he was 19. He's from the same high school class as Parker Meadows, Kingston Leniak, who are not Rule 5 eligible. So that one confuses me. That's a question for what Medzin and Sartori, whoever's in charge of that sort of thing.
I'll actually have to figure that out. I'm not sure on Reese Olson because I feel like he is a guy they would want to protect. But again, yeah, if he's from the same class as Meadows, then he wouldn't be Rule 5 eligible. And looking down that list, otherwise, I don't know. I think maybe... because there's less emphasis now on the back end of the 40-man roster, like maybe we just don't care about it as much, but I also don't see like glaring names like the Tigers have to protect this guy. I think they still wonder if there's something with Cody Clemens, but Clemens is what, 26? And I don't think you have to worry about
it. We have breaking news, by the way. Justin Verlander has signed with the Houston Astros.
Wow. Okay. What?
Sorry, I may be interrupt, but yeah, Ben Verlander announced it on his Twitter.
Oh, can we trust him though?
Oh, hey. And so he went back to Houston.
There you go. I wonder how much for how long.
Long about could work for
like nothing like having your brother break the news.
Yeah, that's fucked.
Yeah.
Well, that's no one else is on it yet, but I think that is a pretty good source.
Well, yeah, we'll fix up.
All right. So I was right. Justin Verlander is not going to be a Detroit Tiger.
Yeah, there we go.
Hold you all along.
Not until 2 years from now with the Tigers trade Jake Rogers and Daz Cameron for him.
But anyways, like, as much as you want to protect Clemens, do you really have to worry about another team taking? I think Will Vest, who got plugged in last year's Rule 5 draft, is another interesting option because I know for a fact there were multiple teams that liked him last year. Are there still teams that like him? Do the Tigers, what do they actually think of him this time around? De La Rosa, like, good, but do you have to worry about another team taking them? I don't know. I'm not super like intrigued by this year's candidates that are Rule 5 eligible from a Tiger standpoint.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think the last year they protected Doha DeFiato and Wentz and stuff. There were a couple obvious guys last year. This year, it's not so much. So I do agree that if Olson is eligible, he would be pretty obvious because you're not going to trade for a guy and then not protecting him when he's already hit the blade. But
you're also at a point where with this 40 man where you're no longer just trying to stash guys for the future. Like I think now if you're on the 40 man roster, the Tigers need to think you can contribute in the major leagues. And so they might be a little more judicial with who gets these spots and who doesn't. Could see him, wouldn't be shocked if they bring in a couple minor league free agents who can compete for spots in camp, and they'll have to keep that in mind as they build out this 40-man going forward too.
Yep. So I don't know exactly what Mark wanted to talk about with the CBA, but
I have a question for you guys. Let's say Spencer Torkelson struggles in camp. He's going to be up early next year, but let's say he doesn't break with the roster, the opening day roster. So that probably puts Scope primarily at first. We haven't talked about much about what goes on at second in that case. Maybe Isak Paredes, maybe Willy Castro. Do they bring in some minor league free agent or another utility type guy who could fill that spot temporarily? That's not something we've talked about a lot.
No, and there's something that I brought up in minor league free agents that Yomar Sanchez is out there, and he's a guy who won a Gold Glove in Chicago, can't really hit. He was with the Braves last year. He can also play third, and the guy's good defensive he's a good defensive presence. So I think if they brought him in, because if you think about the minor league depth right now, there's nobody ready to go. And so I think somebody like that would be a good, gives him, he's under 30. And so what, if he doesn't make the team, put him in Toledo and then call him up at some point. But I think that would be an ideal situation because let's say even on a Rule 5 pick out there that might like slip through. Are the Tigers going to really play and stuff them on the roster all next year? No, I don't think so. So Chris Lulu.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good call on Sancho. I think you can count on them, a veteran minor league free agent, like a Pete Cosma type, just spring training at least. They do that every spring training. They bring a veteran or two play the infield. And every now and then somebody pops up and has a good spring and they go, all right. But yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily, I feel like they think they probably have the bodies there. They just want somebody to win the job, you know, from either the Freddies or the two Castros. Maybe they've seen enough of them already, but I don't think they're going to like get rid of those guys. They're still going to be around in some capacity. I think it's possible that Nico Goodrum is gone, and who knows, maybe they'll even, you know, give Zach Short another chance to, but I think there are options there. I do think they would bring in a veteran, just give him a chance to win the job, but I don't see them, you know, signing anybody like to a real contract, like a Jordy Mercer situation or whatever.
Yeah. I agree, but I think there's definitely room for a Yolmer Sanchez type guy in spring training and in this organization. I think that's something they lack, especially if you do non-tender Nico Goodrum, who is that backup role. And as much as we're finally getting some clarity on what the long-term future of this infield might look like, you're also one Jonathan Scope injury away from, okay, who in the world is going to play second base? And maybe Paredes goes out and wins that job, and then we don't have to talk about this ever again. But so far, we haven't seen quite enough from Isak to say that's anywhere close to a given.
Can we touch on Paredes for a second? I think he's become very interesting, but I think that because, A, nobody really thought he was that good a defender. Everybody thought he could hit like a demon. And at this point, the skill set he's shown in the major leagues is 180 degrees from that. Way better defender than we thought, especially at second base, by the way. Okay. And disappointing, although it does show flashes as a hitter. And I actually is inconsistent as he was at plate the last 40 plate appearances. Saw a few things. Also saw that every time he hit the ball hard, it either went foul or seemed to fall short of the stands. And I just curious, you know, he was 20 feet from having five more homers. And I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that. I don't know how many balls he hit that just curved foul or were caught at the fence. Holy smokes, his play at second base was really damn good. So the other thing I was going to ask you guys, I think Hinch is a much different, a lot of the guys that we watched last year, I think we learned about AJ Hinch. He likes to throw two people in the middle of the ring and see who comes out alive. And he's going to press you to see if you can play under duress, or he's going to move you on. That's my nice way of saying it. And if you go look at the 2020 roster and look at it now, it's pretty apparent who got moved on. So I would say some of these guys we're talking about, Nico, how many chances can they give him to step up and be a piece of the team? And he just never seemed to get any traction for the last year. He was just horrible last year in every phase of baseball. They're not paying him $3.5 million to come back. I'll be shocked if they keep him on the field for $3.5 million. No way.
Yeah, I don't have any reason to believe he'll be back.
A. B. Matthew Boyd. I'm sure they're having a really long talk with Matthew Boyd right now. Matthew, listen, we'll be happy to give you $3 million plus some incentives. Better. I think we may have to part ways. We don't really have the need. He's not going to pitch till middle of July, and they're sure not paying him at $7 million. These are monies they need. I've tweeted many times about their payroll, and if you cut Boyd, you cut Goodrum, you cut Garneau, you get down right to about $70 million. And I've long predicted the payroll is going to be between $115 and $120 million. Maybe I'm light, but I don't think I'm too light. And that's with cutting. People are going to be shocked and mad about it. You're not paying a pitcher $7 million to pitch half a season who, let's be really honest, except for about 10 starts out of his last 50, he's been terrible. Yeah, I think those are things. The last thing I was going to bring up to you guys, Paul DeJong, St. Louis, weird player, not the greatest fielder, not the worst fielder either. It's homers. They'd probably love to get rid of him. Heck of an interesting utility guy, a henchy kind of guy. I'd be giving Stats some thought.
I did. I even, one of my fake trade pieces, I had DM as an option there. Then somebody sent me a DM, an angry DM about how it was ridiculous. Okay. She always lets me know that I've hit my mark.
Get rid of Paul DeJong's 2000. Paul DeJong had some pretty damn good years in St. Louis. Jeez, he had like 27, 28 dongs and blocked 11% of the time and placed a Willie Johanny Peralta shortstop, but it's better than you think it is.
I would say, because based off what Norman, what they have going on with Gorman right now, we started off getting hot towards the last part of the season over in Memphis. They have to make some sort of way to make some room for him. I know he plays third base, but still, the Cardinals have some pretty good infielders in their system right now. And I think
also was very good for them. He was good.
So I think they could use him as a trade piece to maybe perhaps solidify their bullpen a little bit, because their bullpen was terrible.
Cody, don't you think they might consider cutting it, just non-tendering him for how much money he wants?
They could. I wouldn't have thought of this off the top of my head. I'm with you guys. I think it makes a lot of sense for the Cardinals and for the Tigers.
Yeah, but he signed through the next 2 years, I think, and then has two player options, maybe, or two team options. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I think it's like $16 million or something like that. Maybe more than that over the next 2 years. It's
$8 million a year, or at 16.
I think it's 7 and then 9. I'd have to look at it.
I'll tell you, team,
he'll do 6 and 9.
Wouldn't shock me if Oakland took him and made St. Louis pay some of the money. He's a perfect Oakland guy too. So
that's a good call.
But he's a guy. Look, if you're planning on winning, that's an interesting guy to look at. Okay. And St. Louis probably doesn't want to eat money, but depends on the prospect you give up. But that's a good team. I'll be shocked if Paul DeJong isn't on a good team come April 1st next year. I tend to doubt it's going to be St. Louis as the team he's in. So. It's just a player that, you know, the Tigers don't have tons of good players, but they should be looking to try. Heck, if they don't sign a shortstop, which I would find hard to believe they're not signing a shortstop, but it'd be a guy I'd be happy to speculate on. If that was what you're going to do, he'd be a good choice. I'd take him over Andrelton Simmons any day of the week. Andrelton Simmons is washed up 2 years ago.
No, it's one thing that we keep talking about is that the Tigers can improve as much fun as they were and as better as they were this year. They still only won 77 games. They need to find another 15 wins. So you're going to get as many as average and good players as you can. And if you can figure out a way to do that, get the young and spend money elsewhere, do it. Whatever. If the shortstop thing doesn't work out,
it's a cheap way to get better, yep. to say the least. Cody, who do you think the next signing is for them? A shortstop? Don't you think they're going to try to prioritize that?
I think it's a shortstop. Again, we'll see if they can hammer it out before December 1st or not. I think they just might one way or another.
I think it would be terrifying not to, because it's a good segue to talk about this real quickly. I know we don't have a ton of time. I find it hard to believe that CBA is getting signed on December 1st. And if I'm an owner, it's like the old wrestling thing. Once you get him in the leg lock, it's pretty ugly if you're the Players Association once you get past December 1st, because they're going to try to lock you out as long as they can, then create a level of desperation coming into February. Nobody's been signed. That'd be how I was playing it. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Speaking of playing it, by the way, Houston's deal with the Astros, Verlander's deal rather with Houston, is 1 year, $25 million with an option for a second year.
So I missed that. That's a great deal for Houston, by the way. It's
deal for Verlander too.
But that's the double, and it's a lot of money, but it's $8 million less than they paid him last year for rehab. And he knows all the players. That's a win-win for both sides.
So much for all the talk about how the Astros didn't want him around or whatever because he wasn't there all year. Maybe he's got some explaining to do to the clubhouse, but I don't know. I felt like that was a little overblown.
I think that's
Yeah, I think so.
I've been in a lot of clubhouses. You don't think there's an issue there.
I think issue is a strong word. I think Verlander's a strong personality. I think he's also a Hall of Fame pitcher. And if you're a Hall of Fame pitcher, you're allowed to have a strong personality. You can get by with it easier than someone who's not any good.
No, it's just funny. I was just checking Twitter and I see the trending. There's Justin Verlander trending, and right below it is Kelly Stafford. I'm like, wait, what's going on here? She threw a pretzel at somebody.
I love Kelly Stafford.
Interesting Detroit cast.
Well, the rounding up, Cody, what do you got coming up? I knew, of course, the Turn the Corner podcast. You can check that out on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts. What articles you got coming down the pipeline over at the Athletic?
We got the results of the Tigers fan survey. Big time stuff. A lot's changed in just 19 months since the last time I did one, and the opinions of the Tigers fan base, I think, have changed a lot too. So just interested to look at some of the feedback and kind of analyze the answers we got there. And then, to be honest, I'm taking this Thursday and Friday off. I'm headed to a concert, but we're going to be all in on the hot stove probably the week after that. Eduardo Rodriguez is likely to have a press conference in Detroit early next week, so we'll have some coverage on that. And yeah, the hot stove, what's going to happen before December 1st? Maybe also what's going to happen with Matthew Boyd. I think that's really going to occupy most of the energy in Tigers land for the next really up until December.
Awesome. Code, you think Correa signs by when? With, it doesn't matter with who. Do you think he's, give me an idea.
I don't think Correa is super intent on signing before December 1st. I think if he's a Tiger, no pressure. It will be before December 1st. But that's guesswork more than anything.
That's what I wanted. I was guessing.
All right, Tony, I'll let you enjoy your, what concert? I'm curious, what concert?
Well, this guy named Zach Bryan, kind of an independent country artist, actually just signed a big deal. But a really good songwriter going to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where he's from, playing in his home venue, King's Ballroom, which is an all-time concert venue, very historic. So, yeah, I'm excited.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've heard really good things with that place. One of my favorite bands out of the area, the Old 97s.
Oh, yeah.
And that they played there too. They're every time they play there for a couple of days. But again, Cody, enjoy vacation, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Hey, Cody.
Thanks, Cody. See ya. All right. So on that note, I'll end this out here, but I don't know. So you're using Cody, you're a round table that will include tomorrow Brandon, Lynn, Mark, myself, Chris, and Huper. So I'll be playing more of the point guard and passing the questions around. So I'm going to have 20 questions for these fine gentlemen as we talk about the offseason. Maybe the Tigers do something else. But again, breaking news, as we're recording, Justin Verlander to the Houston Astros for 1 year at $25 million. And I'm a little bit relieved too, because I know a lot of the fans are going to be upset about this, but it's just, I think, as we talked about, I think you said it, Mark, or Chris said it, the money could be spent elsewhere to strengthen this team. There's so many holes, and Verlander's not going to fill them.
He could fill, listen, I'm not diminishing the value of a Hall of Fame pitcher. What I'm saying is that they got, anybody doesn't think Chris Illich has a budget, it's just foolish. Okay. That's A. B, they have other money they want to spend on other players. And there's going to be a lot of interesting players out there, boys. I think there's going to be some players out there, if you're willing to step up and spend a couple of bucks, they're going to be laying around and they're going to make your team a lot better. I think that the talent evaluation of the Detroit Tigers has improved significantly in the last 12 months. And shame on me for having to say this, because God knows how everybody knows how I felt about their talent evaluation for the last 5 years. It was like being led around with a blindfold on and being spun around like a kid getting ready to hit a pinata. But they actually have people that know how to evaluate talent now. And there's going to be, they have a lot of data that they collect, and they have other people that have taken more prominent evaluation roles on the team. And there's probably a lot of peripheral players that are pretty interesting that they're going to be able to buy under market before the season starts, especially with what I think will happen with the CBA. So I'm excited to see having a couple of bucks available rather than having one 39-year-old count coming off a TJ Hall of Fame pitcher that they want to spend it on.
As I was saying earlier, I initially felt I was never crazy about the idea for Verlander. I get the romantic appeal of everything. I mean, when he's healthy, he's a Hall of Fame pitcher. I actually liked it more after they said Rodriguez, just because I felt like that gave him a level of safety. Like, you, at least you got your kind of long-term safety. But I'm totally fine with him going back to Houston. It's cool. I do think shortstop is a much bigger need than a second big starter. But it is interesting to see they've identified their huge needs and they've gone out and got so far, other than shortstop. They're going to do what they can to make sure they don't miss out. So I feel like they're going to take some shortstop soon.
I talked to some smart people, including you guys, and I had a couple people bring this up to me, which is it's probably less likely now that he's in Houston, but you never know about teams. Teams have issues some years. Used to think the Minnesota Twins were good. They're not. And don't be shocked if Justin Verlander is acquired at a trade deadline in the next 2 years by a team that, like the Detroit Tigers, is really good. It would shock me. It's much more of a known quantity then, and it's at a discount amount of money because you're only paying them for whatever, a half a season. Those ideas are much more plausible than paying them $25 million for the unknown right now. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm excited. I pressed Cody about Correa because I think if the Tigers are signing Carlos Correa, it's before December 1st. That's just my guess.
And there was a report that came out later today that said the Yankees will not be spending money on a big shortstop. Who knows what to believe or anything now, but that would take away one potential competitor.
Hey, Raj, don't you think Carlos Correa on the list for the New York Yankees is number one or not?
I don't see. There's conflicting reports that said they're not going to spend that. They don't want to spend a lot. So honestly, I think it's just all smokescreen. Be honest with you, I think I personally think that if he wants like 350, whatever, I think the Yankees are on the table. But if it's 300 and then he goes to a community like New York where there's a good Puerto Rican population and you feel like among people that he can be comfortable with, I think that plays a factor. And even again, I'm going to keep saying this. Watch out for Philadelphia. Watch out for Dave Dombrowski. I really think that, I mean, they need a shortstop really bad too. Dombrowski came out there and go, you know what? Bam. But then again, is he going to spend that kind of money like they did with the Harper contract? Yeah.
They got Harper and Real Muto, and they're going to have to sign Nola, and they already signed Wheeler. I don't know how much money Philly has, but that'd be a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it does make sense from the tip of Dombrowski from out of nowhere. Like, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's...
Tyler Baez for $15 million less.
Yeah, that's the question for anybody out there for in the shortstop market. It's why are you going to spend $300 plus in 10 years on Correa, or do you think you can get Story for half that in half the years?
The biggest question I have, there's one player in the Correa sweepstakes that I think we dismiss. They probably we should dismiss, but excuse me. If I'm the Tigers, I'm rooting for the Yankees to drop out of the Correa sweepstakes because all it really leaves then is the Tigers and probably Houston on a lower ball type of offer. And I would imagine the Dodgers would actually then at least kick the tires on what was up. But look, the Dodgers, they got rid of Kershaw's $30 million. They just got, I know they want Scherzer. They've signed Betts. And if Seager doesn't want it, the Tigers may luck into a better shortstop contract by virtue of there just isn't any other team that wants to pay that much. It that's that we should care, but it's not impossible that they don't have, if there's competition makes you pay a lot of money. And if the Yankees aren't taking Carlos Correa, makes it a little more interesting, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You like your idea, like you can never count out the Dodgers. They don't care about money, really. The luxury tax.
They also have Trey Turner, and the weirdest thing about Trey Turner is that he was awful in the postseason, and they must have been going to themselves.
His career playoff stats are awful. Like, he's never been great in the playoffs, and I don't know if that's because he's always injured by playoff time, but yeah, this is something that makes you worry a little bit. Meanwhile, Carlos Correa is kind of all-time great slap performer.
How well did he swing the bat in the playoffs? In addition to the who's an amazing playoff hitter that plays shortstop, it's this Dodgers. Corey Seager. Oh, yeah. My God. Matches like crazy in the playoffs. So it's I think that casual fans think it's Monopoly, but there's just a lot more going on here than I think meets the eye. Tigers are going to end up, if they want a shortstop, there's a shortstop to get. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I also had a lot of people behind the scenes DM me about Trevor Story, and I had some pretty smart people. Tigers would love Trevor Story. The biggest issue, and I was telling Brandon this, they got a lot of data on how he threw, say, post June 1st. It was very scary because he had a very good arm. Trevor Story's a hell of an athlete. Unbelievable. He's almost as fast as Trey Turner. He's ridiculously fast. And his throwing velocity. Are we editing this part out, Roger? Not.
We can probably edit this up. Let me
what I was going to say to you is that his normal throwing velocity across the infield, not top, but just normal, is 77, which is pretty good for a shortstop. It's top 25%. But you have to understand, guys don't throw top end every throw, okay?
Yes.
And he was down to 72. And so it's not a, it's just a question. Is it a UCL problem or is it a shoulder problem or a bite? What is it? They'll know. You're not giving somebody $125 million for doing a pretty thorough physical on the guy. That's what I told Brandon last night. I was like, dude, nobody's getting $25 million a year without getting like contrast studies and MRIs. They're going to, they don't want to sign a guy and then all of a sudden he can't play shortstop and he's getting Tommy John surgery on May 18th. That's not going to be good. But they like Story a lot. And it's the question, is he going to be healthy or not healthy? So I'll be interested to see what happens with that.
For sure. All right, gentlemen, let me stop this. So like I said, this is part of our full roundtable. Thanks again to Cody for joining us. And continue to listen on as we are doing another two-part podcast this week, and we'll talk to you soon.